Catherine had asked me this morning to share on a personal level why church was important to me, and I will get to that eventually. But as I was thinking about what's we're going to hear this morning, and that is from several of us regarding why church is important, first memories of church, and so on, I kind of wanted to weave together, the teacher in me wanted to weave together a thread that was going to tie it all together. And what came to me fairly quickly was the Matthew 18:20 verse that Chris read to us, and that reads, "For when two or more gather in my name, there I am with them." Now, most people take this verse, myself included, over the past years, that Jesus is with us when we attend a church service, or maybe a prayer meeting. When we gather in his name, that would be at one of those places, Jesus is there in our midst. And that's not untrue, but I believe it is so much larger than that. When we think about the phrase "in Jesus' name," we tend to think of something mysterious. We were actually, I remember being attending a church in my early 20s, and we were taught, and again, this is not entirely untrue, but we were taught that something is bound and or loosed in the spiritual realm when you say "in Jesus' name." But I think it's more than just saying the words "in Jesus' name." I'm not going to do a theological deep dive this morning, so don't worry if you're starting to panic and go, "No, he's going to do all kinds of theology." I'm not going to. I just want to point out that there is something more to saying "in Jesus' name." And that is, when we say "in Jesus' name," what we're actually saying, if you look at the meaning of the word "name" in the Greek, it actually means character. So when we say something or do something in Jesus' name, we're doing something in his character, we're doing something that would please him, we're doing something hopefully like what he would have done himself. So my broader understanding of "in Jesus' name," let me just explain further. If we were to have an event, I'm going to get my Kleenex, I'll be right back. Check, check, check. If we were to have an event to honor Terry Fox, the obvious is that we would be doing a run or a walk, right? What kind of attributes or qualities would we be honoring if we were to honor the name of Terry Fox? Not a rhetorical question. Shout some characteristics or traits. Others? So thank you. So when we talk about Terry Fox, honoring his name, it's not magical or mystical. We're actually thinking about some traits. So, in the same way, when we say "in Jesus' name," we're not saying magical words like "open sesame," to tag a prayer, and that we're thinking that if we say "in Jesus' name" at the end of a prayer, God's going to listen better and answer our prayers. That's not it. What we're saying when we say "in Jesus' name," and you'll see this throughout Scripture, is that you're aligning with his character, you're aligning with who he is, you're aligning with what and who he represented. And in a word, that's his kingdom. What was important to Jesus? It's his kingdom. I'm going to ask Hannah to put some words up on the screen. So when we say "in Jesus' name," when we pray "in Jesus' name," when we give to the poor "in Jesus' name," what we're hopefully saying and doing, again, not just the words, what we're hopefully saying and doing is participating in righteousness, peace, joy, in God's sovereign rule, in inclusivity, in humility and mercy, transformation and new life, in faithful and committed discipleship, in hungering for righteousness, in pursuing and making peace, generosity and giving, and most importantly, in loving God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and our neighbors as ourself. So when we gather around and participate in any of the qualities that I think are still on the screen, yep. When we gather around and participate in these qualities, and it doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning or at a prayer meeting, it could be anywhere, I believe that Jesus is there present with us. We sense his love, his peace, his joy, and his good pleasure. And again, it could happen anywhere. It could happen at work. I am pretty sure that if I were to have conversations with you, you have experienced God's presence in all kinds of places: the grocery store, school, at play, at a coffee shop. In fact, I'm not going to name names, but I just had a coffee with one of you and I felt God's presence. It could be at a birth, a wedding, a funeral. It happens in activity that pleases Jesus, activities like inclusivity, justice, generosity, peacemaking, and loving others. Now we're going to hear from several of our friends regarding the importance of church, and which is another way of saying when we gather in Jesus' name. And I hope the word gather is not lost on us. First, we're going to call up Lois and Lee to talk about the history and meaning behind our gathering church logo.
I thought today was identical twins day, but we're not. Thank you. Okay. When Catherine asked us to share about the creation of the logo for the church, by the way, do we have the logo? Yeah, okay. When Catherine asked us to share about the creation of the logo for the church, we had to dig deep. We have some memories about how the logo came into being, but a more detailed and perhaps more accurate account, we reached out to Jim Lupteason, founding pastor, and our nephew, John Steckley, the creator of the logo. Jim said, "I have such good memories with the creation of that logo. As I recall, the image itself came out of an image that someone had as we prayed together about what our church should look like. It was about community building, of course, of being joined together. That image was actually a photo of our son, Josh, and his fiancée, Mary Lynn, which John had taken as an engagement photo. This community concept was given to John. He used the outline of that image and duplicated it in many different sizes. He said, "You know, I thought Jim would like to see lots of people coming to his church." John also remembers Jim talking about new beginnings and suggested the colors of orange and blue. The orange was a sunrise, a new day, also significant because the original location was at W.T. Townsend School, which was close to Sunrise Mall and Chandler Mowat, is also in the same neighborhood.
So, 20 years later, does the logo still reflect who we are? Originally, the founding group was committed to the idea that if the name or logo no longer fit our mission statement, that we would be open to change. What do you think? Is the logo still who we are as a church? The name, the gathering church, the line of people, and the sunrise as a backdrop. I believe God brought us to this location, a community center, where it is natural for a neighborhood to gather together. There are so many ways this community and the gathering church come together with the idea of building relationships. Originally, we did build a lunch, and then snack attack, community suppers, and clothing distribution. I'm sure Catherine and some of you can give other personal examples of community building that we aren't aware of or haven't thought of. A sunrise continues to be significant. There are new days, new beginnings, as we change and create different ways of making Jesus real to people and inviting them to follow, which is manifested as we gather to worship on a Sunday morning and then showing the way of Jesus as we meet together with the Chandler Mowat community during the week. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Put your hand up if you miss your wife. Okay, nothing but good husbands here. I was going to take a photographic image of who didn't raise their hand, and I was going to pass that information along. So, good morning. My name is Ed. I don't know who's... Rocco, are these yours?
Yes. You want to wear them?
No.
Okay.
Some of you may recognize a younger version of me, because I attended here almost 10 years between 2006 and 2015. Recently, my wife Lucianne and I, we decided to make the gathering our home again. Some of you may be asking, well, why did you leave in the first place? Was there some heinous faux pas on your part? No, there wasn't. Did the church do something horrible? No, they didn't. Did the pastors do something terrible? No, it was nothing nearly as scandalous or exciting as that. If you would like to know more details, I would be happy to sit down with you over coffee. When I first encountered the gathering back in 06, I was at quite a low point in my life. I stopped by the gathering's old location on Activa Drive, and they were having a pancake breakfast during Thanksgiving, and they welcomed me with open arms. Soon after, I decided to make the gathering my home. Though I was emotionally drained and socially hindered, I'll say, for you politically correct types, I was welcomed with open arms. I didn't contribute much in those years, but I wanted to, but every time I had an opportunity, I was uninterested and just feeling drained. However, I was the best popcorn kettle cook that you guys ever had. Terry may disagree. Do we still have that monstrous device? Do we? Really? We didn't donate it to NASA? Okay, it's not a boat anchor somewhere? You know, it's funny. I say that I didn't contribute much in those years. I'm just going to pull this off like this. But many of you have come up to me recently and said, hey, Ed, do you remember when? And then you give me this story that I've completely forgotten about. It's nice to be back. What makes this place so great? What makes the gathering great? Well, there's really only one reason, and that is God, our Lord, our Creator, the one who saw how rebellious and how evil we are, and he decided to become human to help us, the one who created the universe, the one who snapped his fingers and made this. No, not this building. And no, not the cars that we drive. And no, not power tools. By the way, I'm a contractor. But he made this earth. Take a walk on a beach. Take a walk in a forest. Breathe it in. This is for us. Do you want proof that God exists? Just read Romans 1:20 and look around. This is it. If we put 100 paint colors on a table, sweep them all onto the floor and dance on them, we will never get a Van Gogh. We'll get a kindergarten finger painting at best. If we open our eyes, we will see the artist. As I'm getting older, I'm slowly learning that God is the center of everything. My successes, my troubles, yes, even my troubles. Family, friends, work, church, he's in all of it. If God isn't the center of your universe, make him the center of your universe. He made this world for us. He made the air for us. Thank you, Yahweh. Now, did you see what I did there? Yahweh. You think that's by accident? It's not a coincidence. That's on purpose. He is the air we breathe, his holy presence. The next time that you're stuck on your phone doom scrolling, and I never do that, I heard other people do, but I don't. The next time you have your handheld device and it's got you by that nose ring in our nose, and you feel that this world is going to hell in a handbasket, tell yourself this. You're right. It is. The world is fully dilated. Our labor pains are getting closer and closer. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, read Matthew 24. But no matter where we are in history, we have each other. This is a sacred time. This is a gift. This is special. That's exactly what this is. We need to treat it as special. Thank you very much.
So, when Catherine and Rocco this morning invited me to share a memory for me of my early years in church, and then also why it's important to me to invest time in the church, specifically around youth and youth ministry. So imagine you're 10 or 11 years old, sitting in church, and the pews are the old wooden style of pew, not like a metal or fabric chair. You lean over to pick something up off of the floor, and out squeaks a fart loud enough to make the pastor pause. That happened to me and is one of my most vivid memories of church growing up in Fredericton. But on a more serious note, I grew up in Fredericton, New Brunswick, attending a Christian Reformed church there. And growing up, church was for me a pretty central part of my life. Almost all of my extended family on my dad's side attended the same church, and most of my close friends growing up also were a part of that same church community. And so a lot of what I did connected back to the church. And as I reflected back on my experience growing up at Fredericton CRC, I don't think I have many memories of being in church other than fighting boredom by eating as many mints as I could as they got passed down the line by my parents or relatives, or sitting with my good friend Reynold, who he and I often would take the back of the bulletin and add little pieces to a picture just to fight off boredom because we were young and church was kind of boring for us. But most of my good memories and things from church connected back to the community that I found there. So for me, going to a friend's house after church and spending the rest of the day running around and playing on the farm, or going to my grandparents almost every Sunday afternoon for soup and buns and then playing cards with my family in the colder months or in the summer months. We would go and meet up with folks from my church and we would play soccer at the local field. And these games would usually go on all afternoon until it was time to pack up and head back to church for the evening service, which was the norm for many CRC churches back then. So church for me growing up really was a place to find connection and welcome and friendship. And as I think about why I now invest time in the church and the youth in particular in the church, I think of two things. One, I want to help create spaces where our youth can feel like I did in the church growing up. Not the bored part, although I'm sure they'll tell you there are moments where it's boring. But that it's a safe place where they are known and they are welcomed, they can make friends and they can learn and they can grow. The second connects to my work at camp. I've been at Hidden Acres for almost 16 years now, and for the first 12 of those years, I was the program director, responsible for overseeing all of our programs and camps. One of my favorite aspects of that job was being able to invest in the lives of our summer camp staff. When I would be able to get to sit one-on-one with them and provide care and support when things were hard. I loved being able to listen, to give them space to process what they were experiencing, offer advice or support when asked and needed, and then to see them move through that challenge and become more resilient and confident and wise and capable in so many areas in their life. But almost 4 years ago, I changed my focus at camp and became the executive director. And while this role still provides opportunities to care and support those that I work with, I don't get to do it as often with our summer camp staff. And so when Catherine and I started talking about me being involved with youth at the gathering, one thing that excited me was being able to invest in the lives of the youth similar to how I was able to do it at camp with our summer staff. The timing was almost perfect as my role was shifting at camp and the opportunities to connect with our summer staff were decreasing. Stepping into a youth leader role here provided new opportunities to be able to do something that I love doing, journeying with young people as they figure life out in all of its various aspects. So being involved in youth here at the gathering provides an avenue for me to be able to allow the ripples of my church community growing up and the impacts that it had on me to now flow into the lives of our youth. And it excites me to think about how the Spirit will work through those ripples to create even more ripples in the years and decades to come as our youth grow and serve in all the places that they will be involved in down the road. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee and Lois and Ed, Chris. I hope you heard in their sharing, right from the beginning of creating our logo to Ed and Pancake Breakfast to Chris's desire and what he's seeing for youth, that these are activities that are done in Jesus' name in ways that would please him and further his kingdom. And he, I'm sure, Lee and Lois and Ed and Chris would agree that they have felt Jesus' presence with them during those times in their lives. When Doris and I moved to Kitchener, for those of you that don't know, we moved here about 5.5 years ago to be with our children and grandchildren. We left behind a church that we had attended for 20 years. It was our home and our family. We loved our church. We were totally involved in every aspect. We experienced nothing like it before, and we assumed that we would experience nothing like it after. So when we moved here, we were committed to visiting 10 churches before we made a decision. And we had visited 9. And by the time we had visited 9, we were pretty certain that we would settle being the operative word, with one or two of these churches that we had visited. And our kids said, excuse me for a minute, our kids said, why don't you go visit the Gathering Church? That's where all the Grable kids go. So, okay, we'll go visit the Gathering Church. So we walk in here and we're like, I don't think we're seeing any Grable kids. Because as you know, time goes by. And we were thinking Grable kids as in people in their 20s. But there are Grable kids here, except they're not kids. They're people that are now in their 40s. And our experience when we first walked through the door was absolute welcome and friendliness. So what I remember from our first few times at the Gathering Church in late 2019 and early into COVID was not the sermons. No disrespect to Steve Cox and Catherine, who continues to deliver wonderful Spirit-led sermons. And it was not the singing, no disrespect to Chris and Amanda, who lead very well, and I love their worship leading. But what it was conversations with people. It was the welcome and love that I felt. When Terry walked across the aisle, shook my hands, and welcomed me, total stranger. It was when Lee, whom I had only just met and had just had a conversation with, invited me to men's group. It was conversations with Daniel and Chris, Nathan Litke, and others, what they were saying in not so many words is, this could be your church family. That's what we were overwhelmingly feeling. And so for us, when I reflect on it years later, now 5.5, 4.5, I've lost track of time. It was the sense, I sensed then that when two or more are gathered in his name, there Jesus is and was with us. I also remember hearing back in the early days that this church was involved in build-a-lunch, community suppers, and realized these people are in the Chandler Moa community because they care about the same people that Jesus cared about. When we give food and drink or clothes like we did earlier this month, Jesus is there with us. In fact, I would say that probably one of the most palpable experiences of feeling Jesus with me involved with the Gathering Church was last year at a teen or a high school community supper. When Catherine and I debriefed the next day, Catherine said, "How did you feel? What did you think? How did it go?" The first words out of my mouth were, "I felt like we were on holy ground. I felt God was there with us." And I believe that God was pleased because we were involved in what he would have loved to be involved in, and that is to feed people, give drink to people, give clothes to people. It's one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus says, "These are the people that I knew, the people that clothed and gave drink to those that were in need." And so when we go forth into our lives seeking to lead, to live, speak, and give in Jesus' name, know that he is pleased and he is with us and we are participating as he would have us participate. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the capital C church and the little C church. We're grateful for the Gathering Church. We're thankful that you have given us community and that you've called us to be your people, not just for each other, but for those that are in so much need. And we're grateful for what we heard this morning about how you are so much invested in our well-being and how you care about us and how you've given us a community to help us to prosper and help us to make our world better and the lives of those who need you and us so much better. We commit ourselves to you to further your kingdom. In your name, amen.
We're going to close with a song. And this is a new song. Just give me one second. There we go. This is a new song for us. It's a fairly new song for myself and for Amanda. But Amanda and I were talking about this weekend in the women's retreat and music. And this is a song that she is introducing to the women as they meet this weekend. And I thought I would do the same for you all because it's a song we'll want to sing in the future, I think. And it's based off of Psalm 23. So we're going to sing through it. We're going to end with Sanctuary at the end. So that'll be kind of our closing song. But I invite you to stand if you would like and if you're able. And as I sing and teach you the song, invite you to join in as you feel comfortable. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I need. You lead me to the safest places. You lead me to the safest places. To walk in the meadow and lie by the stream. You meet me in the quiet places. You meet me in the quiet places. And your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life, all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in your house for eternity, and I'll be there by your side, I'll be there by your side. Though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I don't have to fear no evil, for I know that you are with me. With oil of blessing you cover my head. You fill me to overflowing. My cup is overflowing. And your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I'll dwell in your house for eternity. I'll be there by your side. I'll be there by your side. All the days of my life. All the days of my life. And you prepare a table before me, right in front of my enemies. You're the shepherd of my soul, and you lead me in the right direction. My comfort and my protection. You're the shepherd of my soul, and you prepare a table before me, right in front of my enemies. You're the shepherd of my soul, and you lead me in the right direction. My comfort and my protection. You're the shepherd of my soul, and your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I'll dwell in your house for eternity. I'll be there by your side. I'll be there by your side. All the days of my life. All the days of my life. And all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's sing it one more time. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for